Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories: planning for retirement when you're a 1099 employee or a solopreneur, and the secrets of formulating salaries. Those stories after this.
A small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewall.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's one of America's top 10 for business, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate? All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to michiganbusiness.org to learn more. Again, that's michiganbusiness.org to learn more. Well, there are growing odds in the current economy that you're a freelancer, 1099 employee, or what some people call a solopreneur. If not now, then perhaps one day soon. That said, you have to work harder than ever to make sure you have a plan for retirement, since you don't have a company-sponsored program like a 401k to contribute to. We're joined now by Alyssa Witt, Manager of Consumer Products at Ubiquity Retirement and Savings. She's got some options for these solopreneurs and 1099s. Alyssa, what do we generally mean, first off, by a solopreneur?
Yeah, absolutely. So a solopreneur is basically a one-participant entrepreneur. So typically, it's going to be an individual who's starting a business. Maybe they have a spouse that's making money off the business. Maybe they have a business partner. But it's traditionally a one-participant plan, one-participant individual that's growing their business in the entrepreneurial world.
Very good. All right. And so 1099 employees are ones who don't work for a particular firm, so they get paid without taxes being withheld, right, just to kind of set that scene generally?
Correct. They're usually contractors or solopreneurs in this case that are working in the 1099 market who are working project to project or role to role, but they're not a fully full-time employed employee of any sort of corporation or business. So they typically have to handle taxes outside of a W-2 environment.
Yeah. All right. So for these folks then whose income, I don't know, maybe inconsistent at times or the hours could be really long, there may not be always the desire or the time, perhaps, to set up some sort of retirement plan. What do you recommend for those folks?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think one of the issues with the solopreneurs today is that they don't have HR that's in front of them saying, it's open enrollment. You have 30 days to sign up for your 401k or your health benefits. So they really have to be advocates for themselves and be active and interested in saving for retirement. So doing a little bit of research is going to be part of the problem, and there are a lot of options out there for them. So for solopreneurs, it's a great landscape today because there are so many retirement products that are available to them. One of the most common and one of the most secretive products is what we in the business call single or solo K products. It's a 401k product that's available for the individual entrepreneur, the individual business owner, as well as IRA products. And those are more traditional options that I think the 1099 and the solopreneurs are familiar with.
Okay. So who offers like a solo K product? If I'm an entrepreneur and I think, you know what, I better get my butt in gear with regards to retirement, where do you turn? Is that something Ubiquity offers, for example, as well as others?
Yeah, we do. So our product is called a single K product. They're also known as solo Ks for a lot of businesses or uni Ks, but they are available through a lot of businesses today. And I think what you need to look at and what you need to consider are the fees that go along with them. We offer a product that has a flat fee, a very transparent fee, and that's one of the biggest issues that a lot of individuals have in retirement plans today. They need to know what they're paying, how much they're paying, how frequently they're paying, and who they're paying.
Yeah.
So it's worth doing that research and doing your due diligence, because the less you pay for a retirement plan, the more you're able to save for your own retirement.
Right. All right. So how is that flat fee determined? Is it based on what you might bring in a certain year? I mean, one year might have a good year and another year a not so good year. How does that work?
Sure. So for Ubiquity, for example, we charge a flat fee per customer. So it has nothing to do with your income or your retirement assets. It is just a flat fee that's available for everyone that signs up for a single K or a solo K product.
So what types of questions then should the solopreneur or 1099 employee be asking when trying to start this research?
I think first and foremost, getting your business up and running, you know, making sure that you've paid a lot of your expenses in your own business. Typically, first year of establishing a business, you can incur a lot of upfront costs, so making sure that those are taken care of. Secondly, then starting to research retirement options and looking at what you're looking to get out of it. Is it for tax deferral purposes? Is it for retirement purposes? Are you eventually looking to hire a staff, and are you going to need those benefits in the future to maintain those individuals that you're hiring?
Yeah.
So when you're looking at a product, I think fees are primary. What are you going to be paying? How frequently? How much? Secondly, investment options. That's a big question. And a lot of the solo K products that are available in the marketplace today, you have to establish a brokerage. And that's what makes this product really beautiful, is because you're not stuck with whatever your company's 10 or 15 mutual fund options are. You can really go out in the marketplace and do some research and see what's best for you, what's best for your business. Do you need some hand-holding? Are you looking for a more self-sufficient product? All of those options are available at a variety of different costs to the individual. So doing a little due diligence and figuring out what is best for your business can really save you in the long run.
We're speaking with Alyssa Witt. She's manager of consumer products at Ubiquity Retirement Savings. And we're talking about retirement options for solopreneurs and 1099 employees. Generally speaking, Alyssa, do those folks, the solopreneurs, for example, or 1099 workers, are they behind when it comes to retirement savings and all these scary stories we hear about folks not having enough money for their golden years?
I would say a lot of these solopreneurs are probably saving for retirement, but probably not enough. They are saving in IRA vehicles. IRA vehicles allow you up to $5,500 a year, more if you're over 50. They may be putting money into liquid funds, into savings accounts that give them access to that money, but they're really not making anything off of that money. So what they're missing is the tax deferral, potentially the Roth benefit of a 401k option. And the reason being, it isn't something that's well known in the industry. I think people typically associate 401ks with big businesses and corporations. So they may be saving for retirement, but probably not enough.
Yeah. What kind of leverage do these folks have, if any? I think of, you work for a big company, you've got a 401k, maybe your fees are a little bit lower, perhaps the investment options are a little bit bigger, but do these solopreneurs have leverage at all?
I think it's actually the opposite. One of the big issues that we're seeing in the retirement industry is that a lot of these fees are not transparent, and people are really confused about what they're paying. So you have individuals that work for corporations, and they're looking at their 401k, and they're not aware of the fees that they're paying, and they don't have options. Your company offers that 401k with those target date funds, with those mutual funds. You don't have options. So you can either save with your group plan or you have to go outside. The benefit of being a solopreneur is that there are options out in the marketplace for you. And there are so many companies out there today that are so cognizant of the issue that we have around paying too much for retirement and the issue of fee disclosure and the issue around paying financial advisors, that you can go out and you can find a product that makes sense. You can see what the fees are. You can see the fees are transparent. They're not asset-based. They're flat, and they're clear to what the individual buyer is actually paying. So I think they have a lot more options than your traditional employee who's forced to be within their company's 401k.
Yeah. All right. I'd have to ask, just out of curiosity, do you make public what that flat fee is, for example, that a solopreneur would pay, or is that depend on when he or she signs up?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you that our product for an individual one person is $215 a year, and that's all that they're paying for the product.
Wow. Very good. Are you seeing, by the way, more solopreneurs than ever? Are you seeing the same amount the past few years? Are the numbers down? How do you see it?
Well, speaking specifically in San Francisco, and I think this is happening across the country, we're definitely seeing more. It's 20 to 25% of the marketplace are individual contractors, solopreneurs, who have decided that they can create their own work environment. And that number is growing. We're anticipating by 2025, that number could be 35%.
Wow.
So there are a lot of individuals out there that have decided corporate America isn't for them. They have specializations and skills, and they want to go out there and create their own work environment.
Boy, would you say that that's the nature of the job market, or that's the nature of the individual who wants to be on his or her own?
That's a good question. I think we're seeing a change in the job market because of the 2008 recession. There are a lot of people that were laid off and had to figure out ways to supplement their income.
Yeah.
So I think it's become a function of the job market, and it's creating more individuals that recognize that they can be the masters of their own career, and they can use the skills that they have that they've developed in corporate America to go out into the marketplace and sell their own products and services and have a more flexible work-life environment and don't necessarily need the structure of corporate America.
Thanks, Alyssa. That is Alyssa Witt, Manager of Consumer Products at Ubiquity Retirement and Savings. Hopefully give you some ideas there about planning for retirement if you're a solopreneur. Coming up next, does your small business have a salary structure? If not, it could cause you trouble. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Here is the truth about your salary. When it comes to pay, most companies are making things up as they go. A new study finds only 38% of large and small businesses have a formal compensation structure guiding their pay decisions. Yet Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber says as the labor market improves and as laws put a spotlight on corporate pay practices, firms are starting to rethink the way they set salaries. Lauren, what do we have?
Salaries remain one of the black boxes for employees. It's the kind of thing that it's one of those processes that they tend to not understand how their employer is coming up with decisions about how they're going to pay people. That's particularly the case with salaried jobs, so not necessarily with hourly roles, which tend to be a little bit more prescribed and consistent across employees. But, you know, when it comes to somebody in a professional role where companies are kind of trying to place their skills and experience within a range, a lot of this is a very ad hoc process.
So is it becoming trendy then to be more transparent?
We do see, I think, a movement towards more companies trying to figure out how to do this in a more formal and consistent process. And there are a few reasons for that. One is that employees just have a lot more access to information from outside sources. You can go to Glassdoor, you can go to PayScale, put in your role in your city, and come up with a median or a range for the job that you're in. So that leads to employees asking their managers, you know, here's what I'm seeing on the internet. Why is my salary, you know, maybe below that? So there's more questions from employees, more calls for transparency. And then also there are concerns on the employer side that there's a lot of attention right now to pay equity issues, concerns about men and women being paid differently, possible discrimination getting inserted into the salary setting process. So I think companies realize they need to have a more defensible process to set people's compensation.
Okay. We're speaking with Lauren Weber, workplace reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Why There Is No Science in Your Salary. So who's doing what, for example, right now?
Well, we profiled the company GoDaddy, which is a web domain company. They do web hosting for websites. And they brought in somebody last year who had created compensation structures at a few other large employers. I mean, part of what's shocking is that very few companies, or not very few, but the majority of companies do not seem to have a formal or consistent pay process. I think that would be a surprise to a lot of employees. We found a pay scale survey that said that about 38% of companies have a formal strategy or philosophy that guides these decisions. So that means, you know, 62% do not. It's kind of shocking. So GoDaddy was one of the ones that did not have a process. Their prior process was sort of like, oh, well, what did we pay the last person in this job? That kind of meant that they were actually overpaying a lot of people, because you hire somebody into a role where the last person was there for 6 years. By the time they left, they had a lot of experience and had, you know, gotten raises and stuff. You hire somebody new, they don't necessarily have that same experience, but you're paying them the same amount as the person who just left.
Thanks, Lauren. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report can be found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, as well as places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to share your small business story, I want to hear it. Free publicity for you, inspiration, and tips for others. Email me at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.